This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. In you, Father Almighty, we have our preservation and our bliss. In you, Christ, we have our restoring and our saving. You are our mother, brother, and Savior. In you, our Lord, the Holy Spirit is marvelous and plenteous grace. You are our clothing. For love, you wrap us and embrace us. You are our maker, our lover, our keeper. Teach us to believe that by your grace, all shall be well. And all shall be well. And all manner of things shall be well. Amen. Please be seated. All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. Great words from a great saint, whose feast day we would normally be celebrating on May the 8th if it wasn't a Sunday. Her name is Julian of Norwich. Julian was an anchoress. It's a person who had sort of dedicated their life to solitary prayer. They would take a section of the church, say over here, and build it almost like it was a structure unto itself inside the church. There'd be a window on one side, so the person could participate in the services in the church, a window on the outside for them to receive food and to welcome visitors who, for the most part, they would do spiritual counseling with. That was Julian's life. That's what she chose to do. A great woman. She lived from 1343 to around 1416. And she is credited with being the first female to write a book in the English language. She was very sick and had some visions, and she ends up writing The Revelations of Divine Love. And if I've piqued your interest a little bit, and you are free on Wednesday morning at 8:05, it will be the subject of what we talk about with our school Eucharist this week, about Julian of Norwich. She calls us to understand God and Jesus as not just Father, but as Mother as well. And it is really what Jesus is talking about. Every fourth Sunday of Easter, we have what we call Good Shepherd Sunday. And we hear something from John's Gospel that talks about Jesus calling himself the Good Shepherd. Now, this section of John's Gospel is when Jesus is starting to get ready to know that the passion and death are coming. So his time with his disciples is going to be a bit more limited. And so as a result, he's going to concentrate on telling them the essential things they need to know that are going to give them strength to go forward. The section of John's Gospel, they call it the I Ams. I am this, I am that, and I am the Good Shepherd. He's trying to help them to understand this feminine character of God that is going to swoop them up, keep them safe inside of their enclosure at night, and keep out all the bad stuff. Similarly to when he cries over Jerusalem and he compares himself to a mother hen. Oh, that I could have swooped you off and kept you under my feathers. So there is this whole wonderful relationship to this Mother's Day that we celebrate today that is so important not only with Julian, but also with this gospel that we just heard. In our traditional services, every week we have a creed, whether it's the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed. But in those creeds, there is something that a lot of people have commented on as either the great period or the great comma. It is because in the lines in that creed, we have it saying, Jesus was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, period, or comma. And then it jumps to, he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He was born, and he died. There's a lot of stuff in between, isn't there? We don't know a lot about that from the scriptures. We know a few things. We know a few stories. But it is that great comma or great period that becomes crucial for us to help each other with. Let me tell you a legend of two people. They were living just before the time of Jesus. They got married. They came from a well-to-do family, as the legend goes. They wanted to have children, but it just was not working out, as the legend goes. The husband blames it on himself, so he sort of goes into exile a little bit. And his wife is left home, and she's despondent because she thinks it's her fault. And the both of them are individually praying that somehow they can have a child. And lo and behold, she conceives. She gives birth to a baby. And the parents' names are Joachim and Anne. And their child, we know, is Mary, the mother of Jesus. This is the truth. But as many scripture scholars have written, we really don't know about Joachim and Anne, but we know about how Mary lived her life. And there had to have been something in terms of what they experienced, what she experienced through them, that enabled her to be the person that she is, that she was. So today, I think perhaps the important thing on this Mother's Day is, well, maybe we need to think a little bit about the mothers in our lives. You know, I like to quote John Claypool a lot, one of my heroes. But in one of his sermons, he talked about the fact that there are three aspects of commonality in all of our lives. First, every one of us has parents. We came into this world through the action of two other people. Secondly, we all have experienced and experience some kind of parenting, either by our biological sources or from people who did that parenting in the stead of our biological parents. And thirdly, and probably most importantly for our reflection today, at this very moment in every one of our lives, the interaction with this parenting experience is unending. No matter how old we are, how young we are, even if our parents have long since died, we are still interacting in the depths of our being with that parental experience. And so, it becomes important for us. I think Mom's calling. It's important for us to get in touch with it. Whenever a couple comes for premarital counseling to a priest, I look around and I see a few of them that I've been able to be blessed to do it with. We do a survey. And part of that survey revolves around questions as to how we grew up, the family system in which we grew up. It's important that we're in touch with that because it's still a part of us. It's our history. We can't change it. No matter how wonderful it was or how difficult it was, we can't change it, but we can get in touch with it and understand it. Such that, number one, if it was a system that was healthy and wonderful and loving, we can have incredible gratitude and carry that over into this new relationship. But even if it wasn't so wonderful, to come to terms and healing with that, such that if nothing else, we don't commit the same mistakes as we experienced. And so it becomes crucial for us to be able to do that. Jesus' family wasn't perfect. I mean, think about the little things we do know. When he was 12 in the temple, his mom's trying to keep tabs on him, huh? Where is he? They go to try to find him. And he sort of has to do that distancing thing as he grows into manhood. I must be about my father's business, Mom. There's that other story where Jesus is doing his thing and his mother's the one leading the parade. They want to drag him out and take him home because they think he's demented. They think he's out of his mind. But Jesus sets things straight, keeps the relationship alive, obviously. At the foot of the cross, there he is saying to the beloved disciple, making sure, Mom, there's your son. Son, this is your mother. So no matter what we've experienced in our parental relationships, if you had a wonderful mother or have a wonderful mother, give incredible gratitude to God for that. And if your mother's still with us, make sure she knows that. And if it wasn't so wonderful, sometimes we have to think, well, my mother had a mother, and that mother had a mother. And maybe things weren't so wonderful for them that they just couldn't overcome it. So we want to break the chain then. We don't want to continue the same mistakes. That's perhaps what we're called to. The gospel that we just listened to, it begins with, it was the feast of the dedication. Now when John gives us that kind of scenario, we got to pay attention to it. It's something that's important in the story. The Feast of the Dedication. You go back to Judas Maccabee. You go back to when they had recaptured the temple. Antiochus, this really bad, mean, awful person, had taken control of the temple, had desecrated it. They were sacrificing pigs on the altar. It was just awful. They are able to get the temple back. And so they had a festival with palm branches waving. Very reminiscent for all of those Jewish people of what happened on Palm Sunday. That's why they thought this is the new Judas Maccabee, the new revolutionary leader. That's what they thought Jesus was going to do and to be. They obviously had it wrong, what Jesus' kingdom was about. But in any event, the other story that relates here to what Jesus is doing and saying is that connected with that Feast of the Dedication in the historical context, they had a tradition of having a light burn in the temple. They only had enough oil for one day. It was supposed to burn for 8 days. It's the kind of like we have up there by the gold box we call the ombria, the tabernacle that has the presence of Christ within. We burn a candle to symbolize that presence. They had that light with the presence of God for them. Well, it was a miracle because even though there was enough oil for one day, it burned for 8 days. It's called the Feast of the Dedication. In our day and age, we know it as Hanukkah. That was the feast. Jesus now is drawing that comparison, John doing it for him. Here is the new light that will not go out. Here is the new light that will protect us and light the way for us. So, perhaps today, if nothing else, we give thanks for all of those whose motherly love have enabled us to be where we are today. We pray that God will heal those wounds that might be there where we didn't experience it. And we look for the ways that we can sort of be like Julian of Norwich and seeing God in God's many, many facets, many, many ways, including mother. I want to end today with a canticle written by Juliana Norwich called A Song of True Motherhood. God chose to be our mother in all things, and so made the foundations of his work most humbly and most pure in the Virgin's womb. God, the perfect wisdom of all, arrayed himself in this humble place. Christ came in our poor flesh to share our mother's care. Our mothers bear us for pain and for death. Our true mother, Jesus, bears us for joy and endless life. Christ carried us within him in love and travail until the full time of his passion. And when all was completed and he had carried us so for joy, still all this could not satisfy the power of his wonderful love. All that we owe is redeemed in truly loving God. For the love of Christ works in us. Christ is the one whom we love. Amen.